has already won. All right? But Jesus is not here yet to come and claim us. So we must be ready. All right? We must be ready. We must stay ready. Okay? Notice I said we must not get ready. Okay? Because if you got to get ready, it means you're not ready. So we must stay ready. Okay? Now, there's some things I've done in my lifetime that I am not so happy with. There's some things I've said that if I had an opportunity, I would have not said it. But I'm not ashamed to obey the gospel. A lot of things I did in life late. I didn't necessarily graduate, when I was 20, 21 years old. You know, I graduated when I was almost 30. So most people who go to college, they graduate much earlier than that. Now, is that something I'm ashamed of? No, okay? I'm not ashamed of that. There are some people in my life since obeying the gospel have left, and I'm not ashamed of that. It's because it was because of the gospel, okay? They left. It wasn't me. It was my lifestyle that I chose to portray, okay? There are other groups, and they're pretty huge, all right? A lot of them rule the world, okay? And they don't believe in our convictions, okay? They have a different lifestyle, an alternative lifestyle. Very powerful group, all right? But they are not ashamed of who they are. They speak up for who they are, all right? They speak up for who they are. Now, we must always love them for who they are. Now, do we agree with the lifestyle? I don't agree with the lifestyle because of what the Bible explains. But at the same time, we still have to love everyone, okay? Today's lesson is all about, okay, are you ashamed of the gospel, okay? So what is ashamed? Ashamed is being embarrassed or guilty because of one's actions or characteristics or associations. Another example of being ashamed is being reluctant to do something through fear or of embarrassment or humiliation. We will avoid being humiliated if it comes down to it. I'm not saying all of us. I'm not even saying some of us. I don't know who, okay? But when it comes to the gospel, there are people, okay? There are brothers and sisters that will not speak up when someone says something bad about our God or about Christ. There are people that will just let it go, okay? To stay in association with certain groups or certain people that we have relationships with, okay? But what relationship is stronger? Keeping that relationship together or speaking up when you're supposed to speak? When someone speaks ill will about the gospel, okay? Now, when we were baptized, the first thing you must do is hear. Then you must believe, and then you must repent and confess, and then be baptized and live faithful unto death, right? Okay, but one of those things was confess, okay? What did Jesus say? If you, okay, confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven. That confession does not only take place when someone obeys the gospel. That confession is something you must take into account every single day. Okay? We are confessing Christ daily. Alright? With our actions on what we do and the things we think of. Okay? If what there used to be bracelets that people used to wear. Alright, that had WWJD on it. What would Jesus do? Okay, I miss those. Alright, I miss those because they were constant reminders of, you know, what would Jesus do in this situation? Okay, you know, there used to be a whole lot more God or spiritual related cartoons out there. Okay, now you don't always know what you're even watching anymore. Okay. But those are things related to being ashamed. And here are words related to being ashamed. Being sorry. Being reluctant. Being shameful. Being sheepish. Being guilty. Being loathed. unwilling, slow, afraid, or contrition. All these things are related to being ashamed. Now, one of the ways, one of the best ways to lose your friends, okay, or being rejected, is to go all out with God. That's one of the ways to be completely rejected. And being serious about spiritual matters. Forsaking all your idols and turning to the Lord with all your heart and becoming possessed with God. Okay? Getting your eyes off the things of this world and you will suddenly become, to some, a religious fanatic. And you are in for the worst rejection of your lifetime. The closer you get to God, okay, there's going to be some people that's going to love you more. There's going to be the people that you will be very surprised that's going to love you less. But what did Jesus say? If any man love father, mother, sister, brother, husband, wife, it don't matter who it is, love them more than me is not worthy of me. So what he really saying is, if you don't love me more than anything else in your life, you are ashamed of me. Because I love you more than anything else in life. And I died for you. I came from a place that had no worries to a place full of worries, full of murder, full of all these evil things, just to give you a chance to come with me. But you're going to deny me, and you're ashamed of me because of that. All right? Let's go to Romans chapter 1. All right? Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, I'm going to start at verse 14, all right? Now this is Paul, prisoner of God, and he's writing to the church at Rome, and this is what he says, Romans chapter 1, start at verse 14. He says, I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. I am obligated. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Okay, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. So it is the power of God unto salvation that we are saved. It is only the gospel that has that kind of power. And that means that only in Christ only, okay, can you even get the power, okay, of the gospel to preach. So, I mean, he's not ashamed. Paul says, I am not ashamed. He was not ashamed to go to jail. He wasn't ashamed to get beaten all those times. I'm going to read to you where he was shipwrecked, he was beaten, he was lashed out, he was ridiculed, he was exiled. I mean, even his own people. He had trouble no matter where he went. He even had trouble when he was in the water. So where are you going to go? They didn't have spaceships back then where you can go to another planet and get away. All right, he had to stay there with the people. That's his own people. He had to reject his own people. Even there were people in his own camp. They couldn't go with him. All right? Barnabas' cousin, John Mark, couldn't go with Paul because he wasn't zealous enough at the time to go with him. He said, he left us when we were pamphleting. He left us. He didn't come and speak out. So he ain't coming with us. And Barnabas was like, yes, he is. No, he ain't. So they had an argument. And it was so thick where Barnabas said, you know, we're going to go somewhere else. All right? You're going to go somewhere else. And then he went to the next city and he found Silas. Timothy and Silas. So Paul was about that life. All right? There was nothing you can do to get him away from it. When he had a goal, he never turned back. That's the way God wants us to be with him. He does not want us to carry any of that kind of shame no matter where we are. He wants us to carry that on us like a gang member represents who they are on the streets. I'm not saying you be a gang member, but they die. They will carry what they believe in to death with them. All right? So we are in God's army though, okay? If you did not know, this is a military, all right? And God needs soldiers or they're going to stand. But not weapons of war, but we have spiritual weapons that God has given us, okay? The chest plate of righteousness, the sword of the spirit, a shield of faith, all right? Our foot's supposed to be walking with the truth. That's These are the weapons God has given us with. And these weapons are stronger than any weapons on earth, because they don't cut the physically cut your flesh. They spiritually go straight to your bone and marrow. They cut straight to the heart, which is way, way more powerful. Alright? You want to get to someone, you want to get to their heart. You want to know your enemy, you want to get to their heart. Alright? And just as Jesus answered, okay? John chapter 15, verse 19. John chapter 15 and verse 19. If there's anyone that wasn't ashamed, it was him. Alright, I'm going to start at verse 18. John chapter 15, I'm going to start at verse 18. It says, if the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it will love you as it's your own. That's why there's so many evil people are so prosperous, because they belong to the world. The world takes care of its own. If you step over people and you are arrogant and you don't care about anybody, you want to just get straight to the top, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get there. Because there's no love in it. There's no love in it. It said the world hates you, it hates me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own, as it is. If you don't belong to the world, because I have... let me get this right. As it is, you do not belong to the world. Okay? But I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. That's why. Alright? If anyone don't believe what you believe, or hate what you believe, or don't respect what you believe, it's because of Christ. It ain't because of you. Okay? Even people who deny God. It takes a whole lot of faith to deny God. Takes a whole lot of faith to deny what you know is right. Takes a lot of faith to do that. Alright. Let's go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. We're going to read verses 5. I mean 14. I'm sorry. John 14. We're going to read verses 5 through 7. I read some of this earlier. I quoted some of this earlier, but I'm going to give you guys the rest of the story. John 14, we're going to start at verse, I'm going to start at verse 1. Start at verse 1, all right? He says, do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go there to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you also will be here where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. He says it to his disciples. You know the way where I'm going. He told them, y'all know the way. But Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And he said, Jesus said, I am the way. That's how you should know the way, because I'm the way. So why are you asking me? I don't know the way, when you should already know I'm the way. I shouldn't even have to explain this to you. So Jesus is kind of upset, because I got to explain to you we don't know the way. Okay, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you know him and you have seen him. But they still don't get it. They still don't get it, so he's even more upset, because this is what the next one says. Thomas said, how can we know the way? And then Philip said, show us the Father, and it will be enough for us. So they've been with him for 3 years, saying the same old message over and over and over. Now, are they ashamed of Christ? No, they're not ashamed. But Jesus is ashamed because they don't know who he really is. I did all this for y'all. And y'all still don't know who I am. Wouldn't that make you upset? If you're with someone every single day showing you the same thing over and over and over, and everything I said to you has came true. I've never lied to you. I've never said anything to you that make you not want to believe me. And you still trying to ask me questions about who I am. And then he gets upset. And he answered, don't you know me, Philip? even after I have been with you such a long time. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Why do I need to explain this to you? But if someone else comes and they're speaking about things you like, things you're interested in, guess what? You will not be ashamed of that, because that's something you can relate to. What Jesus wants you to do is be related to his suffering. If you can be related to his suffering, you are going to live a completely different lifestyle, because there's nothing to glorify in that except sharing in that. That's something you got to volunteer for. Who is going to volunteer to suffer? Who's going to do it? Only someone who is not ashamed will do that. Because it's going to take, you're going to be shamed by a lot of people. You're going to have to go through a lot of shame to prove that. Okay? Salvation is free. It's free to be saved. Discipleship will cost you everything. That's the other side. Discipleship will cost you everything. It's going to cause you to deny everything about yourself. It's a completely different makeup. That's why Paul said, transform by the renewing of your mind. I'm not saying you become a schizophrenic, but what I'm saying is you will have a completely different mind. You will think completely differently. You cannot think the same you were before. You cannot. You cannot think the same way. Like you want to, you cannot think the same way. It's not possible anymore. That's what I'm saying. It should not be possible anymore. Alright? Because if you are dead to something, how can you live in it? It's dead. It's not there. It don't exist. Alright? Let's go to Luke chapter 9, verse 26. Luke chapter 9, verse 26. I'm going to start at verse 23. All right. Jesus says, and he said unto them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me will save it. All right. If you want to save your life and you don't want to be ashamed of me, you can live your life. But you're going to die anyway. But if you're going to live your life for me, you will be shamed by other people, but it will save you. That's what Jesus is saying. If you don't want to be ashamed by living your life, go ahead and do that. But you're going to die. But if you're going to live your life for me, you will be shamed by all people, but it's going to save you. Because you're doing it for me. If you're doing it for me, that's the only thing that's going to save you. If you're not doing it for me, it's not going to save you. So you can live your life, but you're going to die. Okay? That's what he's saying. What is good is it for a man to gain the whole world, all right, yet lose or forfeit his very self or his very soul? So basically, you're getting all you can get now, but ain't nothing to get later. Why do that? Why do that? There's more to get. If anyone's ashamed of me, and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the angels of the Father and of his holy angels. I tell you the truth. Some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. So what that means is that those people that were present there with him, they won't die until they see the church come into existence. That's what that means. Okay, taste death means they won't die, okay? Until they see the church physically come into fruition. And that physically came into fruition when Peter and the rest of those apostles preached the first gospel sermon in Acts chapter 2. That's what that means. So don't confuse yourself with that. All right, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is Paul. Okay, writing to his son in the gospel, he is writing to Timothy, trying to encourage him as much as he can. to stay with it, all right? Because Timothy is a young preacher who's coming up, and he is very gifted, but he wants Timothy to keep his focus, all right? He wants him to keep his focus. So I'm going to read here at verse 7. I'm going to start at verse 7, all right? For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. God doesn't want us to be shameful for who we are. We are shameful to the world, yes, but not for who we are. You should be proud of who you are. You should be proud to be called a son or a daughter of God. You should be proud of that. Jesus is going to be proud of you if you claim that life. He is going to walk with you, okay? He's going to walk with you if you claim that life. And verse 8. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. It's very consistent, all right? It's very consistent. That's the only way Paul knows how to do it. He knows this is real. He knows this is right, all right? Because he experienced it on both sides. Before he obeyed the gospel, he was persecuting Christians. He was having them killed. He was having them put in places they shouldn't have been. But God had to blind him and take away the very thing. He had to take away Paul's vision in order for him to see. He had to take it away in order for Paul to see what he was doing. Then he knew there was something more powerful than me. He heard the very voice of Jesus saying to him, Paul, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Who are you, Lord? This is Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Get up and go into the city, and you shall be told to you what you shall do. And it drove him down. He broke down. And for those 3 days, what do you think he was doing? Repenting, confessing, believing, and hearing. God gave Jesus a revelation to spread, and he was not ashamed of that. After, he even changed his name because he was ashamed of that Paul name. And he gave his name to Paul because he was so ashamed of what he was doing before. That is someone who made a transformation. And that's the same Paul he's saying to his son in the gospel, Timothy, don't be ashamed of this. They will hate you for it, but it's going to save you. Isn't that crazy? They're going to hate you for it. But it's going to save you. Isn't that messed up that you got to be hated to be saved? All right. James chapter 1. All right, James chapter 1. We're going to read verses 2 through 6. I shouldn't say messed up. That's just the way it is. All right. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 6. All right. James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance means you can go through anything no matter the circumstance. You are ready. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and with it it be given to him. But when he asks, we must believe. He must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown tossed by the wind. So when we going through this process or going through this life, we cannot doubt or resist the things that's going on. We cannot have that mindset. All right. We must embrace that. All right. So he's saying that we shouldn't be ashamed. All right. All right. Now let's go to the Old Testament. Okay. This is where God is going to be, teaching us. Okay. I'm going to read these. You do not have to, you know, write them down and all that, because I'm going way too fast, all right? But these are scriptures of encouragement for you to keep, okay, for you to have that zeal that God wants you to have, all right? Later on, I may email these because there's a whole lot of them. I'm just going to read them here, all right? Psalms 119, verse 27, all right? Make me to understand your way and your precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Make me to understand your precepts. That is powerful. 119:35. Make me to go into thy paths of your commandments. Therein I delight. Okay? He delights in God's commandments. That is someone who is not ashamed. Alright? 119:135. Make your face to shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. Teach me in your ways, that way I may not fall. Alright? Psalms 25:4. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Alright? Only God's path is perfect. Only path that Jesus walked was perfect. We can all have our own paths. We don't know where we're going. Only God knows. Alright? And this is one of my favorites. Psalms 27:11. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Alright? Because of my enemies. Hope you like those. There's far, far more, but I'm not going to get through them all. There's no way. Alright? There's no way. But this is where I want to take y'all. Alright? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This puts a whole lot in perspective right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to start at verse 16. All right. I'm going to start at verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm starting at verse 16. Paul says, I repeat, let no one take me for a fool. But if you do, then receive me just as you would a fool, so that I may do little boasting. In this self-confident boasting, I am not talking as the Lord would, but as a fool. Since my many boastings are in the way the world goes, I too boast. You gladly put up with fools since you are wise. In fact, you even put up with anyone. Let me see. What did I miss my place? Gladly put up with any. No, I'm sorry. You gladly put up with fools since you are so wise. In fact, you even put up with anyone who enslaves you and exploits you or takes advantage of you or pushes himself forward or slaps you in the face. To my shame, I admit that I were too weak for that. What anyone dares to boast about, I am speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast about when they are Hebrews, so am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. They are servants of Christ. Out of my own mind to talk like this, I am more. I have worked much harder, but being in prison more frequently, I have flogged more severely, I've been exposed to death again and again. And then Paul breaks it down in detail. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. So you can multiply that. Okay? 5 times 39. Don't know the number, but it's pretty high. That's how many times Paul had received lashes. 3 times I was bitten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from the rivers, in danger from the bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger from my city, in danger in the, country, in danger in the sea, in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled. I have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and I have often gone without food. I have been cold. I have been naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressures of my concern for what? For all the churches. Someone who cares that much is going to go through a lot, okay? That's a lot to go through for anyone, all right? But Paul went through all of that, okay? Jesus had said, there's going to be some of you that's going to do greater works, more works than me. He was speaking to Paul. He was speaking to Paul, okay? There's going to be some of you that's going to do greater works. Even though Jesus died for the sake of all men, all right? Jesus was only doing this work for 3 years. He was, the time before that, he had a job. He was a carpenter. He was still learning. He was still going to school. He was still learning obedience and things like that. Look how long Paul lived. Jesus did this stuff for 3 years. Paul did this stuff for decades. So that's why he's saying greater works means greater sufferings. No one suffered more than Christ. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, went through all this continual punishment, because after that, Christ was resurrected the third day, now he's in the right hand of the Father. Paul had to go through this stuff all the time. After being stoned, he should have died. Most people die from being shipwrecked. Most people die from being whipped. God kept him alive. I'm not saying he had some supernatural thing. What I'm saying is, his zeal was so great to where, if this don't kill me, I'm going to keep going. All right? People do these things. Most time in sports. Okay? They do it in sports. The Achilles heel tendon breaks. You know, they break their arm. All kind of stuff. They go through all kind of pain. Okay? Just to perform. All right? And this is for an earthly crown. Paul's doing this because he loves the church so much. All right? He loves the church so much. Today, the shaming is not to say that you're wrong. All right, but to say that you're arrogant if you think others are wrong. Okay, now, are we supposed to judge people in the world? No, we're supposed to judge those in the church. If you're in the church, I have the right to judge you. Those in the world, I have no right to do that. All right, I have no right to do that. It's not that you've done bad thinking, but it's to the world, we have a bad attitude because we're not so open to accept everything. And that's just the way God put it, not us. Okay? God put it that way, not us. Alright? The greatest weapon of shaming today in the world and religious claims is the accusation that you are intolerant, therefore a mean-spirited and egotistical. There's so many churches out there now that some have inclusion, some don't. Okay? When it comes down to it, Jesus only built one church. Alright? And it's his way. It's not our way. All right? God will accept us as we are. But that doesn't mean we're supposed to stay a certain way. Okay? If I accept all those things, God will be ashamed of me because I'll think that their word is more powerful than God's word. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to stand on God's word. And Peter, brings this home for us. So that's going to be the last verse that I go to. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. I'm going to bring this home with Peter. Acts chapter 4. All right, now I'm going to start at verse 7. Acts chapter 4, I'm going to start at verse 7. All right. Jesus did a miracle. Peter did a miracle. And they seized him and the Sanhedrin. Verse 7 says, they had Peter and John brought before them to begin to question them, by what power and what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we were being called to account this day for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, by whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. And he says it straight up. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved. There ain't no other way. That's why Jesus says, I am the way. I heard him say that. That's why I can say. There is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Then when they heard the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. They knew he was. And they're going to know you are. Because of the kind of courage you have to stand up for what is right. When people know you got a courage to stand up for what is right, in Jesus' name, they're going to know you've been with him. And because of that, they're going to try to get rid of you, or silence you, or put you in a situation that's going to cause you to doubt yourself. They will do all those things. But if you do not give in to that, okay, if you not give in to that, God is going to bless you. He's going to bless you. Now, will it look like it? It won't look like it because people are going to ridicule you and talk bad about you. Your own family may even call you and say, what the heck are you doing? All right? You're going to have trouble. All right? You're going to have trouble with people. You won't have no trouble with God. He'll make a way for people to bless you through the things you did. All right? But Peter said straight up, there is no other name under heaven, all right, given unto men by which we must be saved. Okay? So by saying that now, you already know what name you must confess to become a Christian today. You already know what you must do. You must hear God's word. You must believe God's word. You must repent of your sins. All right? And you must confess. If you're ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you. But if you confess me before men, I will also confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will also deny you for my Father, which is in heaven. Do not deny Christ today. You don't want to deny him because this world ain't getting no better. Thank God there's a place better than this because the world ain't looking too good right now. The way things are going, the school system, the things that's going to be teaching, the laws that's being passed, the things that's being allowed, the things that's being accepted and celebrated and making it look like we're in the wrong for wanting to be on God's side is bad. It's bad. It ain't getting no better. It won't get no better. It's already in Genesis chapter 6. Okay? There was only evil in man's minds continually. He had to wipe everybody out because of it. He saved Noah through it. It's going to happen again. This time it won't be a time for where things are going to be redone. When you burn something, it is gone. I can wash something. You can wash it. Put it in the washing machine. It's good to go. No problem. All right? God put the world in the washing machine. You wash it all up, and guess what? It dried, just like you put it in the dryer. But you can't put no fire, and when it comes out, it's going to be better. Only thing you can put in fire is precious metals, because it comes out better. And everyone's work is going to be tried with fire. If you come out wood or rubble and it's anything like that, you're going to be thrown into the mist. You're not worth nothing. God's going to try everybody, but you want to be tried by the trials of suffering with Christ, not tried by people bashing you, okay? You want to be tried a better way, all right? Is anyone today that want to confess Christ? Does anyone today that want to put him on in baptism? May do that right now as we stand and sing the invitation song.